Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafi khalqillahi ajma'een. And we ask Allah to raise the rank of and grant peace to the best of His creation, Nabiyyina Muhammadin, our Prophet Muhammad. وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَاحِبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ. And likewise, for all of his family and companions. أَمَّا بَعْدْ. As for what follows, then by Allah's grace and permission alone, we gather back here at Al-Masjid Al-Awwal in the city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, with our weekly lesson on tafsir, the explanation of the Qur'an, that which has come to us from the lessons of the great scholar of Islam, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. May Allah Ta'ala have mercy on him. And in our previous sessions, we have covered all the way up to the 18th verse of Surah Ar-Rahman. Of Surah Ar-Rahman. And this week, insha'Allah ta'ala, here on Mirath Radio, we're going to begin our third session, beginning with the tafsir of the 19th verse, and take a few verses today, insha'Allah ta'ala, all the way to the 26th verse, asking Allah ta'ala for ease, guidance, and safety. And we begin with the statement of Allah Ta'ala, مَرَجَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ يَلْتَقِيَانِ. That is the 19th verse of Surah Ar-Rahman. And He has brought together the two seas, the two bahrs. The word bahr refers to an expansive, large amount of water, large bodies of water. He brought them together so that they meet. They meet. يَلْتَقِيَانِ. Again, using the tathniya, we're using the dual plural version of the verb, مَرَجَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ. And Allah brought together the two oceans, or the two seas, or the two bodies of water, يَلْتَقِيَانِ. And they meet. Our Shaykh says, may Allah have mercy on him, ثُمَّ قَالَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. And then Allah, the glorious, or the glorified and most high, has said, مَرَجَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ يَلْتَقِيَانِ. And He brought the two bodies of water together, and they meet. مَرَجَ بِمَعْنَ أَرْسَلَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ. The meaning of مَرَجَ is that He sent them forth. He sent forth the two bodies of water. يَعْنِ الْمَالِحَ وَالْعَذْبِ. And what He intended by the two bodies of water are the salt water and the fresh water. Right? يَلْتَقِيَانِ, they meet, they come together. يَلْتَقِي بَعْضُهُمَا بِبَعْضٍ. And some of them, or one kind of water meets with the other kind. الْبَحْرُ الْمَالِحُ هَذِهِ الْبِحَارُ الْعَظِيمَةِ. The salt water body are these large oceans and seas, these large bodies of water. الْبَحْرُ الْأَحْمَرُ, like the Red Sea. وَالْبَحْرُ الْأَبْيَضُ, like the White Sea. والبحر الأطلسي, like the Atlantic Ocean. And the Arabs use the word بحر for a sea, and they use the word بحر for an ocean as well. In modern geography, they would use the word محيط, the word محيط as well, for المحيط الأطلنطي, the Atlantic Ocean. Or they can say البحر الأطلنطي is a more traditional usage for the Atlantic Ocean. وَهَذِهِ الْبِحَارُ كُلُّهَا مَالِحَةٌ. These oceans and seas, these large, massive bodies of water, all of them are salt water. وَجَعَلَهَا اللَّهُ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى مَالِحَةٌ. It is Allah, the Blessed and Most High, who has made them bodies of salt water. لِأَنَّهَا لَوْ كَانَتْ عَذْبَةً لَفَسَدَ الْهَوَاءُ وَانْتَنَتْ. And that is because had He made them fresh water, or sweet water, then the air would be corrupt, and it would have gotten dirty or polluted. لكن الملح يمنع الإنتان والفساد. However, it is the salt that prevents the corruption or the pollution and the corruption of the air. والبحر الآخر, and the other kind of ocean or the other kind of water source or water large body of water. البحر العذب is the fresh water. العذب, fresh water. وهو الأنهار التي تأتي. These are the rivers. Here Allah uses the word بحر to refer to rivers. They are the rivers التي تأتي إما من كثرة الأمطار. And these rivers, they come from either large amounts of rain, وَإِمَّا مِنْ ثُلُوجٍ تَذُوبُ وَتَسِيحُ فِي الْأَرْضِ, or they come from snow that melts and runs about or comes down, from high places on earth. And that's a reference to either polar ice caps or the tops of mountains or the high places where there is a lot of snow, which is a water source for these rivers. فَاللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى أَرْسَلَهُمَا بِحِكْمَتِهِ وَقُدْرَتِهِ حَيْثُ شَاءَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. And Allah, the Most Glorified and Most High, has sent forth these two bodies of water through His wisdom and showing His capabilities wherever He has chosen to send them to. And He is the Mighty and Majestic. يلتقيان, and they meet, these two kinds of water, they meet. أي يلتقي بعضهما ببعض, they come together. عند مصب النهر في البحر, when the river has what they call, I believe, a mouth, that it reaches the end of its extended area, and it reaches into the ocean. So the water is transported from the higher areas of the ground, and it goes down throughout the lands in winding rivers, sometimes all the way until it finally reaches one of the oceans or seas, and the water is dumped into those oceans and those seas. فَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. So at those places, you find the two kinds of water, they meet one another at those places. فَيَمْتَزِجُ بَعْضُهُمَا بِبَعْضٍ, and so they mix. There is a mixture that happens at that place where the sweet or fresh water of a river is poured into the salt water of the ocean, and they meet and they mix. Right? They mix to a very limited degree, as we will see. لَكِنْ حِينَ سَيْرِهِمَا أَوْ حِينَ انْفِرَادِهِمَا يَقُولُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. Whether they come together or whether they remain separate, look at what Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, says, بَيْنَهُمَا بَرْزَخٌ. There exists a barrier between them. There lies a barrier between the salt water and the fresh water. Right? لَا يَبْغِيَانَ وَهُوَ الْيَابِسُ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. It is, that barrier is a dry part of the land. A dry part of the land. And here you can say, as geologists say, that the ocean is a very deep place, and the rivers do not allow for this ocean, which is a massive amount of water, to run into the rivers and to take over the earth. But rather there is a sea level. There is a level at which the sea remains, and it doesn't overtake the rivers. Rather the rivers run into the oceans. At the place where the river runs into the ocean then becomes very deep and very expansive. So there is a kind of physical barrier of dry land under the ocean and at the sides of the ocean where the river empties out into the ocean. That is a physical barrier, and that's one explanation of the barrier that exists between the salt water and the fresh water, as we'll see. And we'll look at three explanations of that. لَا يَبْغِيَانَ. They don't transgress this barrier that exists. They don't go beyond it. أي لا يبغي أحدهما على الآخر. So one of them does not transgress into the other one's place. The seawater doesn't go where the salt water is, and the salt water doesn't go where the seawater is. There is a barrier that is maintained between the two kinds of water. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَسَلَّطَ الْبِحَارَ وَلَفَاضَتْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ. And had Allah willed, the Most High, He would have given the oceans, the larger bodies of water, authority to overtake and to spill out over the entire earth. وَأَغْرَقَتِ الْأَرْضِ. And to drown the entire earth. لِأَنَّ الْبَحْرَ عِندَمَا تَقِفُ عَلَى السَّاحِلِ لا تجد جدارا يمنع انسيابه الى اليابس. When the ocean, you find it coming to the coastline, you find the shoreline or the coastline, the beach, you don't see a physical wall or anything there that stops the ocean from going any further. You don't see anything there. You don't see anything stopping it from going over the dry land and covering the dry land, right? مَعَ أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ كُرَوِيَّةً. While the earth is shaped in a round ball shape. While the earth is shaped in a round shape. وَمَعَ ذَلِكَ لَا يَسِيحُ الْبَحْرُ لَا هَا هُنَا وَلَا هَا هُنَا بِقُدْرَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. However, you don't see, even with the shape of the earth being round, you don't see the oceans going over where the land is. The boundaries that exist there are clear, and the ocean doesn't transgress and go over the land. And so this is a description of the first understanding of the barrier. Bainahuma, it seems in this understanding, the barrier that exists between these two, meaning the barrier between these two bodies of water, the rivers and the oceans, and the physical land. That they have their place, and the rivers don't spill out over the land, and the oceans don't come in with waves and cover the land as well, at the shores. From the capabilities and powers of Allah, that is manifest through those actions. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى لَسَاحَتْ مِيَاهُ الْبَحْرِ عَلَى الْيَابِسِ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ وَدَمَّرَتْهَا. And had Allah willed, and He is the Exalted and the Most High, the water of the ocean would have spilled out over the dry land and destroyed all of it. إِذَنْ الْبَرْزَخْ الَّذِي بَيْنَهُمَا هُوَ الْيَابِسُ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. So then in this, through this understanding, we see that the barrier that exists between them is the dry land itself. The land itself that acts as a barrier. هَذَا قَوْلُ عُلَمَاءِ الْجُغْرَافِيَّةِ. This is the position of the scientists of biology or of geology. This is the position of geologists. They say this barrier that exists between the land or between the rivers and the oceans is the land itself. It is the land itself. وَقَالَ بَعْضُ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ. Some of the people of knowledge here, and the knowledge being referred to here is Islamic knowledge. بَلِ الْبَرْزَخُ أَمْرٌ مَعْنَوِي. They said the barzakh is a figurative thing. It is not a physical thing. There is a barrier that exists, but it is not a physical barrier. يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَالِحِ وَالْعَذْبِ أَنْ يَخْتَلِطَ بَعْضُهُمَا بِبَعْضٍ. It's something that comes between the two types of water and prevents them from mixing. So the salt water remains salt water and the fresh water remains fresh water. وَقَالُوا إِنَّهُ يُوجَدَ الْآنَ فِي عُمْقِ الْبِحَارِ عُيُونٌ عَذْبَةٌ تَنْبَعُ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. And they say that there are, at this time, in the depths of the oceans, There are springs of fresh water that bring water up into the oceans, right? That water is fresh water. حَتَّى إِنَّ الْغَوَّاصِينَ يَغُوصُونَ إِلَيْهَا وَيَشْرَبُونَ مِنْهَا كَأَعْظَبِ مَاءٍ. He said, divers have dived, deep sea divers, have gone down into these oceans and have found these pockets where there are springs of fresh water coming out into the salt water. And at that place, the fresh water can be tasted. The fresh water has been tasted as fresh water in the middle of the saltwater ocean. Right? No. And it's as the most sweet of the fresh water, the most sweet that fresh water can be. وَمَعَ ذَلِكَ لَا تُفْسِدُهَا مِيَاءُ الْبَحْرِ. And along with this, it is the salt water of the ocean doesn't corrupt it and make it undrinkable, but rather it remains at that source, drinkable, fresh water. Subhanallah. فَإِذَا ثَبَتَ ذَلِكَ فَلَا مَانِعُ. And if that is truly established, then there's nothing preventing مِنْ أَن نَقُولُ بِقَوْلِ عُلَمَاءِ الْجُغْرَافِيَّةِ. And if that is true, then there's nothing stopping us from taking the position of the scholars of geography, or geology, or biology. وَقَوْلُ عُلَمَاءِ التَّفْسِيرِ. And the scholars of tafsir together, both statements together. وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And Allah is above all things with power. Meaning it's possible for this verse to refer to a barrier that is a physical barrier, the land that exists between the rivers and the oceans. If that is a barrier between rivers and oceans, between sweet water and salt water, fresh water and salt water. And it is possible for that barrier as well to refer to a non-physical barrier that exists between the two waters themselves when they meet. That there is a barrier at that place of meeting, and that the fresh water does not mix in with the salt water. It remains separate. And that is a very, very interesting angle of tafsir. And it is something supported by modern findings, as we will talk about in more detail, insha'Allah ta'ala. And let's take the opportunity right now to talk about that. That fresh water and salt water, they have very, very different compositions in terms of the chemicals, in terms of the structure of the water. There are heavy salt compounds in the salty oceans and seas. And in the rivers there is a sweet water which is good for drinking, and it supports a whole entire different kind of life. And those who fish, those who engage in the sport of fishing much, so they know the difference between river fishing and ocean fishing, or fishing at sea. So when you fish at sea, at the ocean, then you know you have a different set of animals that you would catch, a different set of fish that you can catch as a fisherman at sea than those that you would catch at land. And biologists have divided all sea life into four categories based on freshwater versus saltwater. They have said the majority of all sea life is in the first two categories. Life that only exists in salt water and life that only exists in seawater, and they cannot survive in the other kind. So there is the majority of sea life falls into the first two categories, either freshwater life or saltwater life. And that means a fish that is a saltwater fish. Do you know a fish that is a saltwater fish? The most common one that we hear about? Catfish? I don't know. Shark? Swordfish? Okay. Generally the larger fish, of course, they're saltwater fish. They can't even fit into the rivers, right? There's a common one that I know is tuna. Right? Tuna is a saltwater fish. It's in the oceans. And so you don't find tuna in the rivers. Tuna don't survive in the rivers. Or is there a fisherman here who would say that you found tuna in the rivers? The tuna is something you cannot find in the rivers because it's saltwater life. So the biologists use that as an example of saltwater fish that cannot survive in the seawater. Saltwater fish that cannot survive in the freshwater, of rivers. So what that means is there is some kind of barrier that a tuna in his life, if he's swimming and he sees a river, he knows that he cannot swim into that river. If the ocean comes near where the mouth of the river dumps the water into the ocean, the tuna knows that it cannot enter there because he cannot survive the composition of that water. And as the waters they come together at that place, the fish will actually be able to sense a barrier and not want to or, you know, instinctively not be able to go into the area that has the water that cannot support his life. So in that is a barrier for some of the creatures of the sea. As well, you have fresh water. The second type of sea life is fresh water or sweet water, river water sea life that cannot survive in the salt water. So there are things that live in the rivers, and if that river dumps them into the ocean, they will die. Right? So these are, in these two first categories, those that stay their entire lives in the fresh water and cannot survive in salt water, as well as those that live in the salt water of the oceans and seas and cannot survive in the sweet water of the rivers. This makes up the majority of all sea life. And there are two more categories. Very interesting. There are some very rare species of sea life that can live in both. They can live in both. However, even within their lives, there's a barrier that is recognized between the salt water and the fresh water. What's that barrier? If you've heard about these kinds of fish, they spawn, they are born in a certain place, and then they leave that place that is salt water, and they go live in the sea fresh water. They leave the salt water, and they live in the fresh water their entire lives, and then near the ends of their lives when they want to spawn, they go back to the place where they were born, and they don't mix between the two stages of their life. There's a barrier for them, right? A commonly quoted one is the salmon. And scholars of biology, they say these are called urihalines. Probably mispronounced. I'm not a biologist, right? And they're of two types, anadromous and catadromous. Anadromous means they're born and they spawn in fresh water and they live in salt water, like the salmon. The salmon or the striped bass. Two animals that are what? They are born in fresh water, in rivers. And then they go and they live their lives out in the ocean. And then near the ends of their lives, they fight the current of the river that is pouring out into the ocean. And they fight to go back to where they were born and to mate there or to spawn there. And they die there as well. So at the beginning of their life, they're in fresh water. Then they live in the salt water of the ocean, and they come back at the end of their lives. So even when we say the sea life recognizes a barrier between salt water and fresh water, the majority of sea life can only live in one or the other, with no stage of their life being in the other place, then there's that minority that can live in both, but they don't go to between the two places whenever they choose. There is a barrier there for them in their lives as well. That means as adults that are living their lives, they do not go into the fresh water until it is near the end of their lives where they spawn and drop their eggs and die back in the fresh water. So it's even within them, within those sea creatures, within those forms of life, there is a barrier as well that they live by, that exists between fresh water and between salt water. An example of catadromous, that's the opposite, where the creature is born in the salt water and comes to live in the fresh water and then goes back to the salt water to spawn and die. That's an example of the eel or some kinds of eels in America and in Europe only. Not all kinds of eels, but some kinds of eels in America and Europe. It's a very rare type of situation, right? They are born in salt water. They go and live in the rivers, in the fresh water, and then they go back to the salt water to spawn. Interesting. So amongst these four categories, even within the ones that are the minority that do not stay in one of the two places, respecting that barrier their whole life, they have, you know, a certain time that they would cross that barrier. Only once. Once in the first part of their life, and then once in the last part of their life. So we find amongst biological findings, what is a witness to the non-physical barrier existing there between the salt water and the fresh water, subhanAllah. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبًا. So which of the favors of your Lord do you deny? Does anyone remember what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, or allegedly said, according to those scholars who did not agree with those who authenticated the hadith, the likes of Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahullah. Does anyone remember the statement that you say in response to فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ? Which of the favors of your Lord do you then deny? Begin with لَا. لَا بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ آلَائِكَ وَمِنْ نِعَمِكَ رَبَّنَا نُكَذِّبُ فَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ. No, nothing of your blessings, our Lord, do we deny. فَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ, and to you is the praise. لَا بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ نِعَمِكَ رَبَّنَا نُكَذِّبُ فَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ. This is when the Prophet ﷺ recited Quran to the jinn, recited Surah Ar-Rahman, and they responded, according to the narration, which is in differing over whether it's authentic or not, they responded every time Allah said, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ? Which of the favors of your Lord do you deny? They allegedly responded with this, and the Prophet ﷺ taught his followers to likewise, and encouraged his followers to likewise say that. He said, what is it that the jinn were more responsive than you? Right? That the companions would hear this surah and not respond, and then he allegedly encouraged them to respond, يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهُ, to respond with that statement. يَخْرُجُ مِنْهُمَ اللُّؤْلُؤُ وَالْمَرْجَانِ. Very beautiful reminder from Allah Ta'ala that from these two, يَخْرُجُ مِنْهُمَا. Pay close attention to this because it's an intricate ayat here. From these two water sources, fresh water and salt water, come pearls and coral. From these two sources, not from one of them, but from these two sources come pearls and corals. Lu'lu is pearls. Marjan, coral, like the coral reef, the beautiful things that grow there in the reef, that's called coral. So what's the first thing that someone might say that this is a bit strange? Remember, يَخْرُجُ مِنْهُمَا. From these two kinds of water come pearls and coral. What do you think, Isa?
It's kind of odd, dude. How one animal can survive in the sweet water as opposed to salt water. Mm-hmm. Neither one of them can survive in each one, but at least for me. However, a pearl from each water comes pearls from both salt and sweet. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. So Isa says it's amazing that some animals, or that all animals, all sea life, no sea life can live in either salt water or fresh water by choice whenever they choose. They have a barrier to respect. And Isa is saying that there are pearls and coral in both. And he's saying that's interesting, or that's a bit strange. I agree, but I'm looking for something else that people might say, hey, wait a minute, there is no this there. What do you say, Hanif? There's no barrier. We're talking about pearls and coral coming from the oceans and the rivers. Mujahid. Let me ask this question. Based on what you know, where are pearls? Where are they? In clams, where are they? In the oceans or in the rivers? In the oceans. Isa says both. Because of the ayah or because of your previous knowledge of the oceans and rivers?
Yeah, but I've seen little clams and rivers.
You've seen clams and rivers?
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. A lot of people say that there are only, pearls only come from the ocean. So they, in their tafsir of this verse, especially in the past, they said that it's strange that Allah says from the two of them, from both salt water and seawater sources, salt water, I'm sorry, is seawater, and fresh water, river water, there is pearls and coral, especially coral. You know what coral is, right? Coral, scientists today say specifically about coral that it only exists in salt water. Right? And based on scientific findings, that seems to be all that we've found. We've only found coral growing in salt water. At the mouths of the river that dump the fresh water into the ocean, that's where coral doesn't live very strongly. That's where you don't find a lot of coral because of the fresh water. The scientists say because of the fresh water, it doesn't foster the growth of coral. Coral needs salt water to grow. That's what scientists say. Now, in the past, they said the same thing about pearls. They didn't know anything about pearls in rivers or anything. They said pearls are known to be things that you get at the bottom of the ocean, not in the rivers. So they said the same thing about pearls. So we had the same objection from some people. Not an objection so much, but a pause to of puzzlement, of being unaware of what Allah intended by saying that from both oceans and rivers, from the sources of salt water and fresh water, come pearls and coral. So in the past, some scholars, they said, as we're going to hear, they had different positions on this. And let's actually look at what Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen mentions regarding what the scholars assumed because of this assumption that there are no pearls and coral in the fresh water, in the river waters. Abdul Hafiz. أيوة يخرج منهما اللؤلؤ والمرجان منهما. So it's a dhamir that goes back to two things. From these two things come pearls and corals. What are these two things? مرج البحرين يلتقيان. The two bahrs come together, right? And the two bahrs were what? The salt water and the fresh water, right? لا يبغيان, and they don't transgress upon each other. بَيْنَهُمَا بَرْزَخٌ لَا يَبْغِيَانِ. Between them is a barrier that does not, that they don't transgress. طيب, now we have, after فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, we go back to يَخْرُجُ مِنْهُمَا, from the two of these bahrs, from the two of these great water supplies, there come a lu'lu, pearls and marjan, and coral. Here's what our sheikh says. يخرج من البحرين العذب والمالح اللؤلؤ والمرجان أو اللؤلؤ والمرجان. This means that coming from the two bodies of water, the salt water and the fresh water, is pearls and corals. وهو قطع من اللؤلؤ أحمر جميل الشكل. They are small pieces of pearl that are red and beautiful, have very beautiful shapes and colors. جميل الشكل واللون. مَا أَنَّهَا مِيَاهِ, while they are something created from water, while they are water, actual, you know, made of water content. وَقَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى مِنْهُمَا, from these two sources, أَضَافَ الْخُرُوجَ إِلَى الْبَحْرَيْنِ الْعَذْبِ وَالْمَالِحِ. He relegated the coming out of the pearls and the corals from both waters, the salt water and the fresh water. وَقَدْ قِيلَ إِنَّ اللُّؤْلُؤَ لَا يَخْرُجُ إِلَّا مِنَ الْمَالِحِ. And it's been said that pearls only come from salt water, right? وَلَا يَخْرُجُ مِنَ الْعَذْبِ, and they don't come from fresh water. You don't get pearls from fresh water. That's been said. وَالَّذِينَ قَالُوا بِهَذَا اضْطَرَبُوا فِي مَعْنَى الْآيَةِ. And so the people who said this, they had some different positions that are actually contradictory amongst themselves regarding the meaning of the verse. So they said there's no pearls in fresh water. There's only pearls in the big ocean water, salt water. So then once they said that, they had to bring about, like, what is the tafsir of the verse and what is the understanding of the verse? And then they fell into disagreement as to how the verse should be understood in light of that assumption. We're going to call it an assumption because Isa has given us the answer already. Barakallahu feek. You didn't even know it. Yeah. Alhamdulillah. وَالَّذِينَ قَالُوا بِهَذَا اضْطَرَبُوا فِي مَعْنَى الْآيَةِ كَيْفَ يَقُولُ اللَّهُ مِنْهُمَا. They said, how did Allah say from the two of them, from the two sources of water? وَهُوَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا. And in reality, the pearl comes from only one of the two, the salt water, right? فَأَجَابُوا. So they responded by saying, بِأَنَّ هَذَا مِنْ بَابَ التَّغْلِيبِ. They said, this is from a tagleeb. وَتَغْلِيبُ أَنْ يَغْلِبَ أَحَدُ الْجَانِبَيْنَ عَلَى الْآخَرِ. تَغْلِيب means that one more prominent, more dominant thing of a pair takes over and becomes the only one referred to. while they're both, while the only one intended when they're both referred to, because of the dominant nature of one of the two. And this would hold true if you think of the amount of water on earth, that which is salt water, compared to the amount of water on earth that is fresh water. Right? The oceans and how deep they are. Any massive, any depths, going, you know, miles and miles and miles down. Compared to the rivers. You know, very selected channels of water, you know, that are not anywhere near the depths and the sizes of those oceans that cover most of the earth, subhanAllah, and that go so deep, right? So if you said, out of taghlib, I'm going to refer to both of them, but I mean ocean water, salt water of the ocean, because it is the dominant, most predominant, maybe 90-95% of the water on the earth is in the oceans, and Allah knows best. That's their angle. So they say that both are referred to, because the salt water dominates and becomes the overpowering or dominating water of the two. Aywa. مِثْرُ مَا يُقَالُ الْعُمْرَانِ. He gives an example, the two Umars. It's referred to, or the first two caliphs, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and Umar ibn Khattab, have been referred to in some discussions as al-Umran, the two Umars. Because of the dominant character and the powerful, you know, the powerful personality of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, the first two caliphs have been referred to as the two Umars, based on the dominant characteristics of Umar ibn al-Khattab. So they said this is an example of the linguistic usage of taghlib, right? And it has some grounding to it. لأبي بكر وعمر ويقال القمراني. And it's also said the two moons, القمراني, للشمس والقمر, for the sun and the moon, because of the moon and its many phases and its the many times that we look at it compared to the sun. فهذا من باب التغليب. So they say it's from the angle of one of the two things being more dominant, and therefore you refer to both of them, but only intend one of them, right? Allah Ta'ala knows best. That's the first position. فَمِنْهُمَا الْمُرَادُ وَاحِدٌ مِنْهُمَا. So then the phrase from the two of them actually means from one of them. The more dominant overtaking one. طيب. وَقَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ. Another position that others had was بَلْ هَذَا عَلَى حَذْفِ مُضَافٍ. They said this is taqdeer. There is something that is understood from the passage but not stated verbatim in the passage. وَالتَّقْدِيرُ يَخْرُجُ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا. Instead of مِنْ هُمَا, put between مِنْ and هُمَا the word أَحَد. مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا. And Abdul Hafiz, he gave us the face. The face of no. Right? And it's very highly respected because you say that's ba'id. You said you're telling me the meaning of مِنْ هُمَا is min ahadihima, because Allah removed the word ahad and wanted us to understand that from the context. Ba'id. Abdul Hafid is saying that's hard to believe as tafsir. And I would agree with Abdul Hafid. Alright? وَهُنَاكَ قَوْلٌ ثَالِثٌ. This is a third statement, a third position. And تَبْقَى الْآيَةُ عَلَى ظَاهِرِهَا. That the ayat remains upon its apparent meaning, that from both sources of water, truly, the fresh water, as well as the salt water, come pearls and coral. Right? وَلَا تَغْلِيبَ وَلَا حَذْفٌ. Not the first idea that was brought up, that one is being referred to by its dominant characteristic, and not by the intended but not stated, the word أَحَد in the middle of مِنْهُمَا. Neither one of these, throw those away. وَيَقُولُ مِنْهُمَا أَي مِنْهُمَا جَمِيعًا. And the meaning of minhuma is based on its apparent meaning. From the two of these sources. From both of them. Not one of them, not the other, but from both of them in reality. يَخْرُجُ اللُؤْلُ وَالْمَرْجَانِ. That's where pearls and corals come from. وَإِنْ امْتَازَ الْمَالِحُ بِأَنَّهُ أَكْثَرُ وَأَطْيَبُ. Even if it's the case that the salt water produces the pearls that are more beautiful and better. But there are some pearls produced in the fresh water. The Shaykh says, فَبِأَيِّ هَذِهِ الْأَقْوَالِ الثَّلَاثَ نَأْخُذُ. Which of these three positions should we adopt? He says, نَأْخُذُ بِمَا يُوَافِقُ ظَاهِرِ الْقُرْآنِ. We should take the position of that which is most in line with the apparent phrase of the Qur'an. Right? فَاللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يَقُولُ يَخْرُجُ مِنْهُمَا. So Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, says, there comes from the two of them. وَهُوَ خَالِقُهُمَا وَهُوَ يَعْلَمُ مَاذَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهُمَا. He is the creator of those two sources of water, and He knows most about what comes from those two water sources. فَإِذَا كَانَتِ الْآيَةُ ظَاهِرُهَا أَنَّ اللُّؤْلُؤَ يَخْرُجُ مِنْهُمَا جَمِيعًا. So if it is apparently understood from the verse that pearls come from both kinds of water sources, وَجَبَ الْأَخْذُ بِظَاهِرِهَا, then it becomes binding on us to take that as our understanding, that there are pearls that come from both the ocean water and the fresh water of the rivers. لكن لا شك أن اللؤلؤ من الماء المالح أكثر وأطيب. However, it's true, or it's no doubt that the pearls that come from the water of the ocean, the salt water, are more in number and better in their nature. لكن لا يمنع أن نقول بظاهر القرآن. However, there's nothing preventing us from saying with the apparent understanding of the Quran, of the verse. بل يتعين. That seems to be what is required for us, or it comes down to that being the correct choice. And نقول بظاهر القرآن. That's what we say. That which is apparent from the ayah. I'm sorry, بظاهر الآية. وهذه قاعدة في التفسير في القرآن والسنة. And this is a principle as it relates to understanding texts of the book and the sunnah. إننا نحمل الشيء على ظاهره. We consider a thing to have the meaning based on the apparent meaning of the phrase. وَلَا نُؤَوِّلْ. And we don't claim that there's figurative language being used, or representative language, that this represents something else, but not what first comes to your mind. We don't say that. It's called ta'wil. اللَّهُمَّ إِلَّا لِضَرُورَ. Except in situations that require that, for the passage to be understood properly. فَإِذَا كَانَ هُنَاكَ ضَرُورَ. If it is a must, فَلَا بُدَّ أَن نَتَمَشَّى عَلَى مَا تَقْتَضِيهِ الضَّرُورَ. Then it is a requirement in those cases that we take ta'wil, that we have the ta'wil that requires us to understand the passage. I'll give you an example if you're interested of ta'wil. It means going away from what is apparent from the passage to a secondary understanding, because the most apparent understanding is not befitting and is not true. In fact, it's based on something that would be contradictory to reality.
So ta'wil means what?
Ta'wil means, in one understanding of the word ta'wil, it is صرف اللفظ عن ظاهره, to take the phrase away from its most apparent meaning. In the Arabic language and in all languages, words have more than one meaning. The word ayn, it's the name of the letter that's shaped like the ghain, but it doesn't have a dot. It's also the name of the body part that you see with. It's called the eye, ayn. It's also a spy. A spy is called an ayn, jasus. Ayn is also a nafs. You say, ra'aytu zaydan, aynahu. I saw Zayd, exactly him. I saw him by his eye, or you mean exactly him and nobody else. There are a number of uses of the word ayn. So when ayn comes in a text, wa aynan is a spring that produces water in the ground. It's an ayn, right? So then, when do you leave the most obvious usage of the word ayn and go to a secondary usage? When the context dictates that? When the first and most apparent understanding shows a meaning that is false, that could not be the intended meaning of Allah Rabbul Alameen? That's just an example. We have in the verse of Surah Al-Qiyamah, فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَ. And when we read it to you, then follow its recitation. Scholars of tafsir here, they said Allah sent Jibreel to read the Quran to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the verse says فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ. Allah is speaking, saying, so when we read it to you, then follow its recitation. فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ. The scholars of tafsir, they made ta'wil. They said here Allah is not reading the Quran to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam except by way of his order. That he orders Jibreel to go to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to read the Quran to him. So the reading that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was ordered to follow carefully was the reading of Jibreel. But Allah says, فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَ. Putting all of the evidence together, historical data and how the Qur'an came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it wasn't that. And Allah is all powerful and could have done whatever He chose. Allah did not read the Qur'an directly to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam for him to follow the recitation. Rather, He sent Jibreel to recite the Qur'an to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Considering all the facts together, we say the most apparent understanding is not intended. Rather, the meaning of فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ is فَإِذَا قَرَأَ جِبْرِيلُ. So you call that a kind of ta'wil. We went away from the most apparent meaning of the verse. قَرَأْنَاهُ, Allah read the Qur'an. And we go to Jibreel reading the Qur'an because that's the reality of what was happening at the revelation of these verses and all the other verses. Or most of the other verses. طيب. That's an example of ta'wil al-darura. أَمَّا بِغَيْرِ ضَرُورَ. As for when there is no need to go to that kind of ta'wil, فَيَجِبُ أَن نَحْمِلُ الْقُرْآنَ وَالسُّنَّةَ عَلَى ظَاهِرِهِمَا. Then the requirement on us is to understand the passages of the Qur'an in their apparent senses. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانَ. And which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? لِأَنَّمَا فِي هَذِهِ الْبِحَارِ. Because there are in these oceans. وَمَا يَحْصُلُ مِنَ الْمَنَافِعِ الْعَظِيمَةِ. And what great benefits there are found through these oceans? نِعَمٌ كَثِيرَةٌ. Many blessings. لَا يُمْكِنُ لِلْإِنسَانِ أَن يُنْكِرَهَا أَبَدًا. It's not possible for any human being to reject those many blessings. Now I'd like to make a comment here about the completion of this. That in the past, the scholars of tafsir would say that pearls didn't come from the ocean. Pearls didn't come from fresh water. They came from the ocean. They didn't come from river water. And I told you that Isa gave us the answer. Isa said he saw clams in the rivers. You've been river fishing? Have you seen clams or pearls coming out of the river? I thought you'd be seeing it as well. In fact, the pearl industry today, the market for pearls, when you go to jewelry stores and you buy jewels, and from the jewelers, you buy pearls, 90% of today's pearls are from freshwater pearls. Not 90% are from the ocean. 90% are from freshwater, farmed and supervised pearls. Right? It's easier for people to supervise them in the rivers that are close to their factories instead of going out in the ocean to the bottom of the ocean floor to get some pearls. Tayyib. So 90%, that's a claim made by people who look at the marketplace and talk about the jewels in the marketplace. They say 90% of the jewel, 90% of the pearls are freshwater pearls of today in the marketplace. Subhanallah. Tayyib. And interesting. They are the most pearls in the marketplaces of America, Japan, and China. Most of the pearls are from fresh water in those major countries. And in the United States, it's required for them to be labeled. For those who are dealing in them, it's required that they label them as freshwater cultured pearls. So they are obviously known about and dealt with to the point where there are certain labels are required for those who deal in them. Right? So we've dealt with the issue of pearls, and we can affirm. What do you think, Abdul Hafiz? Just affirm what Allah said. That even if we never found a pearl from the fresh water, are you going to say, well, it's not true that they come from ocean and fresh water, because I've been to the ocean and I've seen pearls there, but I've been to rivers and I've never seen any pearls there. We would say this is the kalam of Allah, the creator of the two kinds of water, as the Shaykh said, and He knows best about what is contained in them and what is produced for mankind from them. So look at how in the past it may have been confusing. Walaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In the past it may have been confusing that no one knew of pearls coming out of rivers. And look at how the position of those who said, although I've never seen or heard of a pearl coming from a river, I say that Allah said, يَخْرُجُ مِنْهُمَا أَلُؤْلُؤُ وَالْمَرْجَانِ, and that's my position. And they may have seemed to be in violation of the reality, of the scientific reality that was known to them in their time. But look at now, we say 90% of the pearls in the market are from freshwater pearl, freshwater pearls. There's pressure put on scholars to say, you have to explain this verse the correct way, that you have to make that taqdeer, or you have to say that there is no pearl coming from the fresh water. Bottom line is the believer and his stance towards the report of Allah is that he says, Allah has informed us that pearls and coral both come from rivers and ocean water, fresh water and salt water sources. Whether we have found that or not, Allah is the one who said that. And so for us now, we see, looking back at history, it's very easy for us to confirm that and say they should have said that in the first place. They should have just affirmed that Allah said pearls come from both kinds of water. It's easy for us. Here's our trial now. As I mentioned to you, the scientists say that coral only grows in salt water, and that biological studies have proven that coral cannot grow in fresh water. What do you say? Do we need to explain the verse so that it matches science? Or do we say maybe in 100 years, 90% of the coral in the market will be coming from freshwater coral? And Allah is the one in charge of His creation. Allah is the one who knows best about His creation. So we can say, okay, our scientists today, they say, we don't know of any, they have to say, we don't know of. They can't say there is no coral in the rivers. They have to say, we don't know of coral growing in the rivers. Right? And if they leave it like that, we have no problem. But once they say there is no such thing as coral that grows in a river, and coral cannot grow in a river, coral can only grow in salt water, we say, Allah says, يَخْرُجُ مِنْهُمَا اللُؤْلُؤُ وَالْمَرْجَانُ. We have information that you don't have. From the two sources of water, both salty and fresh, come pearls and corals. You haven't found those corals yet from the rivers and the freshwater sources, but they exist because in the past the people didn't believe there would be pearls in fresh water. And now they are the majority of the pearls. Subhanallah. A lesson for us in taking what is the clearest and most apparent meaning of the Quran without any taraddud, without saying science has to support what Allah has said. Because at a time science was not supporting what Allah said. And in fact what Allah said is true, as we know now. But the people and what they have found said there are no pearls in the rivers. And we have seen now that there are pearls in the rivers. I'd like to close up pretty quickly here because we're over our time. وَلَهُ الْجَوَارِ الْمُنْشَآتُ فِي الْبَحْرِ كَالْأَعْلَامِ. And Allah has these moving, manufactured moving things on the oceans, right? Or on the ocean, upon the فِي الْبَحْرِ, in the ocean, كَالْأَعْلَامِ, like mountains, gigantic ships that have been made by the people on the ocean. أي لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ مُلْكًا وَتَدْبِيرًا وَتَيْسِيرًا. Allah owns them. By way, لَهُ, this is for Allah. Allah owns those ships by ownership and by tadbir and through His planning of where they go. Right? His planning of them. And تَيْسِيرًا, His making easy for them to go certain ways. Allah Ta'ala owns them. They are His ships. مُلْكًا. الجوار, the word جوار, بحذف الياء للتخفيف. The original word is الجواري. الجواري. وأصلها الجواري جمع جارية. The word جواري is the plural of جارية. And it means things that run along. Right? Things that run along or move along. وهي السفينة. And specifically there are ships. The word جواري refers to ships. تجري في البحر. They move along on the ocean. كما قال الله عز وجل, as Allah the Mighty and Majestic has said, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ الْفُلْكَ تَجْرِي فِي الْبَحْرِ بِنِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Have you not seen how the ship moves along about on the sea with the blessing or with the grace of Allah? وَالْمُنْشَآتِ أي التي أنشأها صانعوها ليسيروا عليها في البحر. These are manufactured ships that flow about on the ocean. They have been made by their inventors or their manufacturers so that they would sail upon the ocean. وقوله في البحر, the statement of Allah upon the ocean, mutaallaqu bil jawari, ay al jawari fil bahr. That is mentioned that these are the oceans that are on, or these are the ships that are on the ocean. Not that they have been made on the ocean, but they are ships that sail on the ocean. وَلَيْسَتْ فِي مَا يَظْهَرُ مُتَعَلِّقَ بِالْمُنْشَآتِ. Meaning, it is not that they are manufactured on the ocean, but it is that they are jawari, that they are sailing about on the ocean. One small point for our huruf as well. Remember we talked about Allah being fis sama, and we said the meaning of that is above the sky. Yet linguists would say to us, fi means inside. So then they would try to say that Allah is in the sky. Right? We said that Allah has referred to us as being fil ard. And the meaning of fil ard is on the top of the earth, over the earth. Here we have the ships being described as fil bahar. Are they down in the depths of the ocean? Inside the ocean? Or are they on top of the ocean? They're on top of the ocean. But Allah said, fi al-bahr. So you see, kathrat al-isti'mal, you see the common usage of the word fi, that is understood by grammarians or by linguists as being dharfiyya, that it means containing something, or inside of something. But however, it is used often to show al-ulu, to show something being over top of something else. Tayyib. Al-ulu. Al-ulu means highness over something. Al-ulu ala shay, any highness above something else. Or being over something, being ala something. Right? Uluhiyya is the act of something being ala something else. Something being over top of something else. Tayyib? هي الجواري التي تصنع في البحر لأن السفن تصنع في البر. This prevents us from understanding that they are ships that are built and manufactured at the ocean or on the ocean. Rather, لأن السفن تصنع في البر أولا. Ships are manufactured on land at first. ثم تنزل في البحر. Then they are placed in the oceans or dropped down into the oceans. وقوله كالأعلام. And his statement, like mountains, tashbihun, is striking a similitude between these ships and mountains. وَالْأَعْلَامُ جَمْعُ عَلَمْ وَهُوَ الْجَبَلُ. And the word أَعْلَام is the plural of عَلَمْ, which means a jabal, a mountain. وَقَوْلُهُ كَالْأَعْلَامِ تَشْبِيهُ. Who said that? كَمَا قَالَ الشَّاعِرُ. As the poet said, وَإِنَّ صَخْرًا لَتَأْتَمَّ الْهُدَاتُ بِهِ كَأَنَّهُ عَلَمٌ فِي رَأْسِهِ نَعْ. And verily, Sakhar. Sakhar is the name of the brother of the poet. And it's a woman poet named Khansa. Alright, Tumadir bint Amr. She was a poet from Jahiliyyah that accepted Islam and became from the companions. Her name was Al-Khansa. And her poetry is famous that she was eulogizing her dead brother all the time. That she was talking about her dead brother and his virtues in the poetry. Right? And this is one of them. And verily, Sakhar, that the guided people would all follow him. Those who are hudat would all follow him. He would be their imam. كَأَنَّهُ عَلَمْ. As if he was a mountain, upon the top of it, at the very height of the mountain, a fire. So she's describing how guiding Sakhar, her brother, was. كَأَنَّهُ جَبَلْ. I mean, فِي رَأْسِهِ نَارْ. Or كَأَنَّهُ عَلَمْ means كَأَنَّهُ جَبَلْ. The word عَلَمْ is the word for jabal, mountain. وَمَنْ شَاهَدَ السُّفُنَ فِي الْبِحَارِ رَأَى أَنَّ هَذَا التَّشْبِيهَ مُنْتَبِقٌ تَمَامًا عَلَيْهَا. And if anyone, those who have seen large ships at sea, they have seen this parable and the similitude that is being mentioned here in a very precise way. That they are like mountains that float on top of the water. فَهِيَ كَالْجِبَالِ تَسِيرُ فِي الْبَحْرِ بِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. They are like real mountains that float on top of the ocean by the order of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. وَإِنَّمَا نَصَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمَا لِأَنَّهُمَا تَحْمِلُ الْأَرْزَاقِ مِنْ جَانِبٍ إِلَى جَانِبٍ. And verily Allah mentioned them textually because they carry the provisions of Allah from land to land. وَلَوْلَا أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَسَّرَهَا لَكَانَ فِي ذَلِكَ فَوَاتُ كَثِيرٍ. أو فوات خير كثيرا للبلاد التي تنقل منها والبلاد التي تنقل إليها. And had Allah Ta'ala not allowed these ships to move about easily, there would have been a loss of a great amount of good from the lands that the ships take things from and the lands that the ships take things to. وفي هذا العصر جعل الله تبارك وتعالى جواري أخرى. And this day and time, Allah Ta'ala, the Blessed and Most High, has different kinds of vessels, has made different kinds of vessels. لكنها تجري في الجو. And they float about in the sky or in the air. كما تجري هذه في البحر. Just as these being mentioned in the passage here, float on top of the sea. وَهِيَ طَائِرَاتِ They are the airplanes. فَهِيَ مِنَّةٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلٌ They are a blessing, a gift from Allah the Mighty and Majestic. كَمِنَّتِهِ عَلَى عِبَادِهِ فِي جَوَارِ الْبِحَارِ Just like His blessings that He bestowed upon people with the ships that float on the surface of the sea, or on the sea. بَلْ رُبَّمَا نَقُولُ And we could also possibly say, إِنَّ السَّيَّارَاتِ أَيْضًا مِنْ جَوَارِ الْبَرِّ That cars are from the jawari, things that move about on the land. فَتَكُونُ الْجَوَارِ ثَلَاثَةَ أَصْنَافٍ So there are three kinds of vessels that move about, three different types. بَحْرِيَّةٌ وَبَرِّيَّةٌ وَجَوِّيَّةٌ There are oceanic vessels, there are land vessels, and there are air vessels. وَكُلُّهَا مِنْ نِعَمِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ Each and every one of them is from the blessings of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ And this is why he says, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانَ So which of the favors of your Lord do you deny? لَا بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ نِعَمِكْ رَبَّنَا نُكَذِّبُ فَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ None of the favors of yours, our Lord, would we ever deny, and to you is the praise. أي بِأَيِّ نِعْمَةٍ مِنْ نِعَمِ اللَّهِ تُكَذِّبَانِ وَالْخِطَابُ لِلْإِنْسِ وَالْجِنِّ Meaning, which of the favors, from the many favors of Allah, do you reject? And the address is sent to all of jinn kind and all of mankind. And with that, we have gone beyond our time for this evening, and we've actually delayed our iqamah for Salat al-Isha by more than 10 minutes. So with my apologies to those who came for the Salat, we will stop at this time, and we will establish Salat al-Isha, sending Salat and Salam on the finest of creation, our Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah Ta'ala knows best. Questions can be taken later after Salat al-Isha, insha'Allah.